Hello, everyone, and welcome back to a Closer Look True Crime Podcast, or welcome if you are new. Today, we have a very interesting and upsetting case, unlike any other case I've covered before, and that is the murders of Libby German and Abby Williams. This case is also known as the Delphi murders or the Snapchat murders, and with a recent arrest that might lead somewhere in the case, I figured now would be the best time to cover it. So without further ado, let's get right into today's case. So this case takes place in Delphi, Indiana. Delphi is a very small town with a population of about 3,000 people. It is mostly farming or empty natural space filled with trails and beautiful views. The community was known for being super tight-knit and the town was known for being incredibly safe. People would just leave their doors unlocked at night, let their kids run around wherever, and just trusted that nothing would ever happen to them because nothing ever did. And this case was a really great example that no matter how safe you feel, it never hurts to take the extra safety precautions just in case. Liberty German and Abigail Williams lived in Delphi and were best friends. They attended the local middle school together at the time, played saxophone in the school band, played school sports together, and were even going to be playing on the same softball team that upcoming season. Libby was more outgoing, whereas Abby was more quiet and reserved. Libby was also known for being involved in every sport Delphi had to offer: swimming, softball, volleyball, soccer, the list goes on. The two were very creative, loved painting, very outdoorsy, very close to their families, they loved sports, and they loved taking photos. On February 13th, 2017, the girls had a last-minute day off school. They weren't sure what exactly they wanted to do, but they knew that they wanted to spend it together. The girls had breakfast at Libby's that morning and settled on going to the Monon Bridge Trail to visit the High Bridge. The Monon Bridge Trail was extremely beautiful and was a part of the Delphi Historic Trail System. It had this old rickety train track bridge over the creek and was a pretty dangerous little location, and people weren't supposed to walk across this bridge, but a lot of people did anyways, and I don't think anyone ever got hurt. Libby asked her older sister Kelsey if she wanted to come with them to take pictures, but Kelsey had work that day and wouldn't be able to come over. However, she offered to drive them if they could organize a ride home and if it was okay with their dad. Kelsey dropped the girls off at 1:35-ish, and Libby's dad was to meet them at a specific spot at 3:30 to be picked up. At 2:07, Libby posted a picture of Abby walking on the bridge to her Snapchat story, and shortly after, she saved a video to her Snapchat memories, which is just sort of like a separate camera roll on Snapchat, of a man walking towards them on the bridge. Then 3:30 rolled around, and the girls weren't at the spot to be picked up, so Libby's dad called her quite a few times to let them know he was there, and after calling multiple times with no answer, he started to get worried and called Kelsey and Libby and Kelsey's grandparents who lived with them. Soon after, their entire family and community was searching the area and scanning the entire trail system. They searched for a few hours with no luck. It was starting to get dark and the families decided it was time to call police and officially report the girls missing. That night, police in the community searched the area until past midnight when the search was eventually called off because it was just getting unsafe for them to be searching in the dark, and they were concerned that somebody else might get lost and they'd have to break up their resources and spend more time trying to find a searcher than just trying to find the girls. Then the next morning at 7 a.m., another search began. Volunteers came from all over the community, different cities, and even different states to search for the girls. Everyone was put into groups and assigned areas, search dogs were brought in, dive teams were brought in to search the creek, and even drones were used to cover more ground. At this point, the theory was that there was no foul play involved and that the girls had just gotten lost or hurt somewhere. Police also tried to track their cell phones, but they believed that they were completely shut off shortly after the Snapchat memory of the man was saved. The first full day of searching didn't lead anywhere, but on the second day of the search, the girls' bodies were found. They were found a half of a mile off the bridge, right on the edge of a private property line, and Libby's phone was also found underneath her body. And the community was incredibly affected by this. There were multiple vigils held for the girls. The school was offering free counseling to any students in need, and because of the closeness of the community and how well-liked the girls were, everyone truly felt like they lost two family members that they loved very, very much. the community also didn't feel nearly as safe and laid back as it used to be. People no longer let their kids go out by themselves. Nobody walked on the trails by themselves, and everyone was understandably very worried about their safety. So they did autopsies on the girls and determined that they were stabbed to death with a sharp object and that a gun also might have been involved, as there was an unspent bullet found by the bodies. Their cause of death actually wasn't released for a very, very long time until quite recently, which is quite interesting. Police, I think, were trying to conceal the case as much as possible in case they had to go to court or something like that. They didn't want to compromise any of the evidence. So police did end up being wrong about there being no foul play involved, as it was very clear at this point that this had turned into a double homicide investigation and no longer a search for two lost girls. And police did make a few other mistakes in the case out of inexperience, but from what I can gather, they were and are very determined to solve the case and are making up for making those mistakes in the beginning and trying their very best to bring justice to whoever did this to the girls, and they're apparently doing a great job. A woman that day had also seen a man matching that description of the picture walking around the trails, and she had also seen the girls walking towards the bridge around 1:50 p.m. Then about 3 hours later, another woman saw a man matching the man in Libby's video, who she described as muddy and bloody, walking away from the Monon High Bridge. It's believed that as they were stabbed to death, the killer would have walked away very bloody, so it's quite likely that this woman saw the killer walking away from the crime scene. The day after finding the bodies, they released the photo Libby took of the man and said that this person wasn't currently a suspect, but they just wanted to speak with them. However, a few days later, police made another statement saying that whoever is in this photo was now their prime suspect. And I will attach the photo Libby took over on my Instagram on the post dedicated to this case. The link to my Instagram is in the description. Police also discovered around this time that Libby had taken an audio recording of a man's voice saying, "Down the hill," which I'll play for you right now. And police believe that this was the same man in the photo and was the killer. Then shortly after, police found another recording saying someone was following them and the girls kind of explaining that they were being followed, but this one has not been released to public to this day. Libby was really into true crime and very smart in that sense, so her family and authorities believe that she took these videos and audio recordings in case something happened to them, and it's a good thing that she did, because without these recordings, I don't think that this case would have come nearly as far as it has. Around this time, police also released a sketch of the man in the photo. The photo was very grainy. They tried to enhance it, but it was just impossible. But they did use witness statements of others who believe they saw the man walking that day to build the composite sketch, and I will attach that to the post in my Instagram as well. Their families, especially Kelsey, were doing absolutely everything they could to get justice for the girls. They even went on the Dr. Phil show to raise awareness and helped get a new law to come into effect that allows police in Indiana to take DNA samples from anyone that has been arrested on felony charges and upload their DNA to an international database. And this law, I think, will be extremely helpful in solving a lot of cases. Then, in September of 2017, they made one of their first arrests on a man named Daniel Nations. He was a registered sex offender from Indiana, but was arrested in Colorado after harassing and threatening people on trails in Woodland Park, Colorado. He was later pulled over around this time for having an expired license plate, and then police also saw this outstanding arrest from Colorado, and they started noticing the similarities between the two cases and decided to look into him further. Investigators say they had more reason to believe Daniel had committed the crimes, but they haven't released any of that information in the case, in case they ended up having to go to court. Then in February of 2018, Daniel was cleared as a suspect, and I guess they just didn't have enough evidence to prove he was behind this. Charles Elridge had also been arrested for the murders. He looked very similar to the photo, but they didn't have much else against him, and he was eventually cleared as a suspect. A pastor named Thomas Bruce was also arrested for the murders. He'd previously been charged for fatally shooting a woman and sexually assaulting two others in St. Louis, Missouri. He looked and dressed very similar to the man in the photo and had 17 other felony charges against him. However, police were never able to prove that he was behind this, and eventually he was cleared as a suspect. Around this time, police also released a new sketch of a completely different man that looks younger than his age, apparently, and could be anywhere from 20 to 40. They said that although the old sketch remains a main suspect, the new sketch was their primary person of interest that they were trying to find. In this press conference, they also said that they believe this person lives in Delphi, visits on a regular basis, or is currently working slash has worked in Delphi in the past. They even said that they believe he is hiding in plain sight. Maybe they've interviewed him, and maybe he was even in the room with them, which is interesting to think about because a lot of very messed up killers, I mean, all killers are messed up, but very, very messed up criminals go to their own press conferences and their own sort of thing. The Golden State Killer did that. That's kind of just one of their things that they like. And it's interesting that they think that they were dealing with someone like this. Then a man named Richard Allen was arrested. He lived a short 5 minutes from the bridge, worked at a local CVS at the time, and had a passing resemblance to the initial sketch. After searching his home, they were able to tie Richard to the bullet found at the crime scene and determined that it had come from Richard's Sig Sauer Model P226, which was found in his home. He pled not guilty to all charges, and his attorney even said that not only was he innocent, but they believed the victims died at the hands of a pagan white nationalist cult. I don't even know what to say about that. I can't believe that happened. Honestly, that's very interesting of them to say. Another interesting thing was that Richard had taken a selfie in front of a poster containing the composite sketch that he matched most before his arrest. Unlike any other suspects, he appears to have no criminal history, which is also very interesting. Then, shortly after, it came to police's attention that while he was in jail, Richard confessed to the killings of the girls multiple times to other inmates. They had a preliminary hearing shortly after this discovery, and his trial date was set for October 15th to 31st, 2024, which should be coming up later this year unless it's pushed back. I really, really hope that it will not be pushed back and that he will be brought to justice and this case will be finally solved after so many years. I cannot believe how hard Libby and Abby's murders must have been for their community and their families, and I just really hope that the families and everything can get the justice that they deserve. Anyways, thank you all so much for listening. As I mentioned, I have a dedicated Instagram post for each case I cover starting in 2024, so make sure you check out Libby and Abby's post for all of the photos I talked about and more. I would also love to hear your opinions on the case in the comment section on that post, so if you have anything you'd like to share or add, please head over to my Instagram. The link is in the description. I hope you enjoyed today's case as much as I enjoyed creating it for you all, and I hope to see you next Monday for another episode on A Closer Look True Crime Podcast.